Okay, yesterday we started the Perek of Mefanin, Kuf Chavav Mabes. So we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah had three parts to it. The Mishnah first listed off that you are allowed to do certain types of tircha on Shabbos, with tsarach ha'orchim, with tsarach meaning moving and schlepping boxes of tfua, of grain and of straw, because you want orchim to be able to sit down in your field, bitul beis medrash, because you want to have a shear take place in your yard and there is no room for the talmidim to sit down, but loasa otsar, but you're not allowed to do something as referred to in the Mishnah called otsar, which is something we have to talk about today. That was part one of the Mishnah. Part two of the Mishnah discussed had a list of different types of grains. What is muksa? What is not muksa? So the Mishnah listed of truma tahora and demai. And Maiserishish and Elishumaso, and all these others that seem to be Mukhan, and therefore, Mukhan in some way, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, it's not Muksa. But in contrast to Tevel and Maiserishish and Shalonit Elishumaso, Maiserishish, which you give to the Levi that didn't have its Truma taken off, the Pashas right now that means Truma's Maiser wasn't taken off, the Levi didn't give that to the Kohen. Each of these will be discussed towards the end of today's daf. And then going on till tomorrow's. And then the third part of the Mishnah spoke about if you have bunches of branches or of straw, if you were mistaking them for Malcha Behemoth before Shabbos, then you're allowed to be Metal to them, and if not, you're not allowed to be Metal to them. Okay, just 2 points on the Truma Tahora line in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said you're allowed to move Truma Tahora. So why are you allowed to move Truma Tahora? You know, A, why, and B, if it's if you're allowed to, then what's the chiddush, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. So Rashi just says 2 points, two chiddushim in Dibur Maschil Mafan and Truma Tahora. Number one, Rashi says, why are you allowed to move Truma Tahora? The Chazi L'Behemas Kohen. That's what he mentioned at the end of yesterday's shir. Because you could give it to a Kohen animal. A Kohen can't eat straw, and he straw can't eat Truma. So what are you allowed to do with this Truma? So you give it to a Kohen's animal. So the Rashi here points out that that's a chiddush. Because, you know, one might have said there are other sources that tell us that if you have an item that's roi to be eaten by a person, truma, then giving it to an animal is being ma'abed its kedusha. It's causing it, it's being ma'abed its kedusha, and you're not allowed to do that. Truma has certain levels of kedusha, you're not allowed to deal with it in certain bizayon ways. So Barashi seems to be saying here that that's not, that wouldn't be called a bizayon, or at least in terms of muksa, that wouldn't be, you'd be able to give it to a behemoth kohen. Again, you don't have to say Rashi, that's what the Rosh Hashanah points out. You don't have to say this is Rashi Shito and call it Tarkula. Rashi just might be saying that because you can do this theoretically, so therefore it's not called Muksa and you're allowed to move it. But maybe still it's not the best thing to do. Rashi might admit to that. But that's part one. But the second half of Rashi is also Mechudash, but this is related to a Rashi that we mentioned a couple months ago. The second half of Rashi says, why does it say Truma Tahora in the Mishnah? What about Truma Tameya? Why only Truma Tahora? Pure Truma. Tar Truma. What about Truma Temeya? So Rashi says, no. Because Truma Temeya, you can't. Da afilu lebehemas koin lochazi b'shabbos. Because there's nothing, there's no uses for Truma Temeya on Shabbos. Rashi knows the halacha that a Kohen is allowed to use Truma Temeya in a certain way. It's called Hanas Kilui. He could use Truma Temeya to burn in his fireplace. He could give it to his animal. He's allowed to use Truma Temeya. He's allowed to use it and even destroy it as he's using it. That's the halacha of Truma Temeya. So why can you give that to your animal on Shabbos? So Rashi says, the avagav de b'chol chazya, even though on a weekday it is roi, and there is a usage, as it says in Psachim, but Shabbos and Yantav lo chazya, de zuhi bi'ura min ha'olam. Because this is its destruction for the world, ola hesek ola behema, to use for firewood, right, on Yantav you'll use it for firewood, or for your animal, vein mevarin shruma temeya v'kacha temeyam b'yantav. And you're not allowed to be mevayer, destroy truma temeya, kacha temeyam on Yantav. And Rashi says this means not only destroying in terms of a fire, but in terms of giving it to your animal. If you remember, this is what we discussed in Perek Bava Malikin. In the second Perek, there's a Rashi in Beitza, which explains the Mishnah there in Beitza and Daf Chav Zayin. The Mishnah says there, you're not allowed to move Truma Temeya on Yantif. So Rashi says, why can't you give it to the animal? Rashi says, even though you're not really doing a malacha when you're giving it to an animal, but because the Torah is machshiv, this act that you're doing of destroying the Truma Temeya, Rashi's lashon is Rachmana Achshvei Lahavarasan. There's a concept called achshave. I mean, even though a certain action inherently itself, objectively, might not have a certain status, but because the Torah recognizes what you are doing, so therefore that's called achshave. And therefore, even though normally it shouldn't be usser, here it's usser. Rashi also quoted this you think back on Daf Santik Amabez, by the beginning of Perek Hamatznia, if you have a certain objective shiur of how much you have to carry out. If I want to carry out a tiny amount, and I think about it beforehand, I'm going to be chai for that tiny amount. Why am I chai for that tiny amount? It's not the objective shiur. Rashi says, achshavei, because you were machshiv this amount, similar to over here, because you decided that this was going to be an important a shiur. So if you decided, therefore it's going to be also to carry that out on Shabbos. So similarly here, the Torah is machshiv, this action that you're doing. So even though, objectively, it's nothing wrong with feeding your animal on Yadif, as long as it's your animal, but because the Torah is machshiv this act, it recognizes havaras tuma, truma tamei on Yadif, therefore it's going to be asur. So that's Rashi Lushitaso, how he explains why the Mishnah says, truma tahora, you're allowed to move, but not truma tamei. Fine. And then one last point, and then we'll move on, and that is tevel. Just we rushed through it yesterday, so I wanted to mention it again. You're not allowed to move tevel on Shabbos or Yadif. So the Mishnah here clearly says that tevel is muksa. Tosfos on the top of the next Amud, on Kuf Chaf Chesam and Aleph, the top Tosfos points out that earlier in the third Perek, the Gemara mentioned that Tevel is Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos. The Tevel is not really Muksa. Tevel is, you know, it's not such a Muksa. You have to take off Trumas and Maestras. So you're right. So if you take off Trumas and Maestras, you'd be able to use it on Shabbos and Yantif. You're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maestras? Okay, so if you violated it and did what you weren't supposed to do. But that, because you could do that, that it would work, and it would be toface to be misaki in this food, so therefore it's not muksa. So what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says it is muksa. So Akadakamara says doesn't create muksa, it is muksa eitzel Shabbos. Sosa says, limit that Gemara. Hanimilu le'inyun bitokli mehechano. Shalom echmiru kamo le'inyun tizl bi'adayim. Really, Tosa says it is muksa. It is muksa, that's why you can't move it. Relating to the specific din that's discussed there, which is, does this muksa create bitul kli mehechano? Meaning, if you use another kli to hold, to put under the muksa, does that other kli now become muksa? So tevel is not that strong. It's not that muksa. But it is muksa, and you can't move it directly. So Sosva says, that's how he puts together these two gemaras. Okay, so now let's get into the Gemara. A lot to discuss today, a lot of interesting stories in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Hashta Chamesh Befadin Mibai Arba Mibai. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to move four or five boxes. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to move five boxes. Why does it have to say you're allowed to move four boxes? Five is the bigger Chiddush. So Hashta Chamesh Befadin, you're allowed to move five Arba Mibai. So what's the Chiddush of saying four? So two answers in the Gemara. Number one, Amar of Chizda, Arba Mechamesh, Vechamesh Meotzer Gadol. Four and five are really referred to two different cases. But the important point is that you're not allowed to take the entire, you're not allowed to empty out the entire field of boxes, and you're not allowed to take more than five boxes. So what are you allowed to do? Arba Mechamesh. If there are five boxes there, you're allowed to take four. You're not allowed to take out all the boxes, as we'll see, the reason being that if you take out all the boxes, and you've now created a whole empty space, we're worried that you're going to be mashve gumos, you want people to sit down, you want it to look nice and feel good. So you might come to smooth out the ground, which is an issa d'oraisa of choresh. So that's why you always have to leave one box. If you leave one box, we assume that you'll remember that you're not doing this to get your field better. So when it says the word arba in the Mishnah, it means from a case where you have five. The chamesh me'otzer gadol. And when it says five, it means from when you have more than five, you're still only allowed to take five. That's the maximum. Umay avalo es ha'otzer. If this is the interpretation of the four and the five, that four is teaching me that you're not allowed to take all of them, only four out of five. Five is saying that you can't take tons even if you have a lot there. So what's the next line of the Mishnah teaching me? Avalo es ha'otzer. I thought, just to put it to the Mishnah Gemara's mind, I thought of Avalos HaOtzar meant you're not allowed to take out all of them. Because that's what we're going to say in the second part of the Gemara. But we've just said that four is already a reference to you're not allowed to take out all of them, because four out of five. So what's the next line of the Mishnah? You're telling me something else. So the Gemara says, it's teaching me the following, that if you've never taken boxes of straw out of this area, so then it's totally muksa, and you're not allowed to move it at all. It had to be that you took some out before Shabbos. If you didn't take any out before Shabbos, then you were maksa it biadayim. It's not designated at all, and therefore it's muksa. Umani, and who is the author of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, he the islay muksa. And the author is Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we mentioned, holds of more muksas than Rabbi Shimon. Not islay muksa, leslay muksa, Rabbi Yehuda holds of a lot of muksas. And our Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first way to interpret the Mishnah. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel said, no. Arba v'chamesh. Why did they say four and five in the Mishnah? Kedamri Inshi. People say four or five boxes. You know, it doesn't mean that only Chiddush is five. Why do you have to say four? That's the way people talk. Kedamri Inshi. V'bayafilatu v'nami. And really, mefanin. And even many more you could take out. As much as you need. in order to make room for the Talmidim or for the guests. So then, if you weren't Midayik in the first line of the Mishnah, so then you could say, what does the next line of the Mishnah mean? So then the next line of the Mishnah could be the line that's teaching me you can't do all of them. You can't remove all of them because then you might come to be Mashva Gumos. The whole field will be empty and you might come to level it off. But there's no line of the Mishnah then that's teaching me that you're not allowed to start taking from the yard on Shabbos, Umani, and therefore who would the author be? Reb Shimoni, the Leslei Muksa. So, right, so there's two ways to interpret the Mishnah, whether it's according to Reb Yehuda or according to Reb Shimon. Tanu Rabbanan. Fourth line. Tanu Rabbanan. Again, there's a couple of Xeris that are Dilmala Asila Shviya Gumos. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, right, the Melachos, that's why we discussed 2 days ago, or yesterday, we discussed, like, the Melachos Rabbanan of Kotzer, Xeris Rabbanan of Kotzer was the Isser of Hishtamshus v'Mechubar. Right, even though it seems somewhat far-fetched, you have other reasons, because you might cut off a branch of a tree, and therefore you're not allowed to, there was a gzeira, low plug of ishtamshus v'mechubar. So, so too, asila shviya gumos. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, there are a number of gzeiras that are asila shviya gumos. You're not allowed to play any game where something rolls on the grounds, outside. Because asila shviya gumos, soccer outside, or marbles, or something like that, those games are asur midir rabbanan on Shabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, because asila shviya gumos, you might come to be mashve, sweeping the ground outside. Let's say you have a sukkah and your sukkah is on dirt and you want to level it off on Shabbos. Aye, what's sweeping? What are you doing? Again, because you might see a bump, you might see a hole, you might come to Mashva Gumos. Sweeping indoors is not a problem. The discussion of the postgame is, are you allowed to sweep an outdoor patio? Because that's outside, but it's hard. So is that included in the Xera or not? So is it like you might come to get mixed up because it is outside, but on the other hand, it's a hard surface. So that's a discussion in the Ramah, in the Bir Halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch. But that's all Dilmas Lashviya Gubos. Next, Tanur Rabbanan, fifth line. Emas Chilin Ba'otzar Tchila Aval Ose Bo Shvil Kadeshi Kanis V'Yetzei. Says the Brisa, you're not allowed to start from the Otzar Tchila, right? We just said that means you're not allowed to start going and taking bundles out of the field, because it's Muksa. But what you're allowed to do is, you're allowed to walk through, let's say you have to get to the other side, you're allowed to walk through, and you know, kick away the bundles that you need to kick away in order to make a path for you to walk through. Again, most posts can assume that this is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says you're not allowed to start. Right, that was the first interpretation of the Mishnah. According to Reb Shimon, you're allowed to move these bundles even if you didn't start before Shabbos. So let's assume that it's like Shitas Reb Yehuda, they're not allowed to start, but even according to Reb Yehuda, if you could move them, as Rashi says, with your foot, what does Rashi say? The fourth wide line, to lo have a tiltal. This isn't called tiltal. If you just move it out of the way, let's say you're walking and your foot bangs into a rock, or let's say you have to walk by, so you have to kick the rock out of the way in order to walk, says the Gemara, even Rabbi Yehuda, who usually holds this muksa, would say that is okay. I should have read two more lines. Osa Moshvil v'hamer dey maschilin. How can you make a path? It says you can't start. So the havamid here is that you move it with your hands. Hachikamar osa Moshvil b'raglav b'kisasa b'siyaso. No, it means with your foot. As you're walking, you could walk in and out, and therefore kick it with your feet. Interesting, the Rif quotes this Brisa. The Rif quotes this Brisa, but he quotes osa Moshvil b'raglav. And the question that the Balamar asks on the Rif in the back, Balamar on the bottom, asks, why does the Rif quote this? It's the Lo Kehilchasa. We're not passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we just said this interpretation like Rabbi Yehuda, because the first line of the Brisa says, Ein Maschil Ba'osa Tchila. That's only quoted to Rabbi Yehuda, not quoted to Rabbi Shimon. So why is he quoting this Brisa? So the Balamar leaves the Pitzarachian. He says it's the Lo Kehilchasa. And therefore he doesn't know why he quotes it. But the Ramban and the Melchamos, Hashem is on the bottom. So interesting, when Mary Bain pointed out that the Ramban was this tremendous, he started a base measure, the Ramban. Ramban, the base measure of the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rit for the Ran. The Ramban had tremendous mental creativity. The Ramban spent so much of his life defending other Gedolim. Right, the Melchamos Hashem defends the Rif against the attacks of the Balamar. The Sefer Aschus on the bottom also defends the Rif against the attacks of the Raivin. The Ramban on Sefer HaMitzvos, besides attacking the Rambam many times, a lot of what he does is defending the Bahag against what the later Rishonim hold. So a lot of what he does is defense. Somebody even suggested maybe his Pirush al Torah is a defense of the Pashtunim, right? Because Rashi and the Ebenezer and others weren't as much Pshutus HaMikra as he would have liked. So therefore, even that's a little more of a stretch. A lot of it is giving his own. But again, I'm not a scholar. But Either way, it's interesting how much the Mesiras Nefesh he had. He even writes in the Hakdama to his commentary on the Melchamos, he says, a lot of what I'm going to say I don't hold of. I'm just explaining it, Pulshitas HaRif, because you have to defend the godless of the Rif, so therefore I'm going to write it. But really, I don't hold of a lot of it. A lot of times I agree with the other Shita. But so the Baal of the Melchamos here says that no, of course, you have to, the Rif is right. Why is the Rif quoting this? Is according to the Shita of Yehuda? No, the second line. What does the second line of the Brisa say? That you're allowed to kick it away as long as you're walking in and walking out. That principle we hold of. Whatever muksa we hold of, you're right, we don't pass it like this muksa, because it's Rabbi Yehuda. But whatever muksa we hold of, like Rabbi Shimon, so that you would be able to move it in the same way like Rabbi Yehuda hold of his muksa. Meaning you can move it with your foot, you could kick it away if you have to get to it. So let's say there's a muksa on the carpet in your living room, and you have to get by, so you could kick it under the couch. If some money, something was left there, you could kick it under the couch, because that's not called tiltal. That's at most tiltal min atzad, but Rashi's lashon here is the lavi tiltal. Maybe it's even less. If you're moving it with your elbow, that might be indirect tiltal. But if that's kicking it out of the way, or it's getting moved as you walk, might even be that. Not just kicking it, but moving, getting moved as you walk by. Like we had a couple of days ago, dorsal fitumo. It just happens as you walk by. So that, says the Baal Amar, says the Ramban, that is shayach to the halacha, and that's why the Rif quotes it. So according to this, Ramban is not machalik. We have mentioned that some muksas are very more chamer than others. Like we mentioned, chesron kiss is a very chamer muksa. But at least muksa machmas gufo, which is one of the more chamer muksas. But here it says, at least muksa machmas gufo, you'd be able to move in this way. Okay, Tana Rabbana. The Braisa continues. Tvua tzvura. Let's say you have a bundle, gathered tvua, gathered grain. Bizvash yisru bavei Erev Shabbos, was similar to what we just had. As long as you started taking from it on Erev Shabbos, mutar l'stavim mimena b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take from it on Shabbos. V'imlav, let's see, to give to your animal. V'imlav, also l'stavim mimena b'Shabbos. But if not, you're not allowed to take from it on Shabbos. Divrei Reb Shimon. These are the words of Reb Shimon, Rav Acha Matir. And Rav Acha says, no, even if you did start taking it before Shabbos, it's okay. Okay. Ask the Gemara, Klapi Laya. The Gemara uses that lashon to say just the opposite. What are you talking about? Reb Shimon is the one that asers, or Rav Acha Matir? Reb Shimon is always the one that matirs. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Ela Ema Dibri Rav Acha Reb Shimon Matir. Right? We meant to say that Reb Shimon is the one that's matir. Tana Kamashir Tvua Tzvura. How much is the shear of tfua? How large of a pile does it have to be in order for us to assume that it is not set aside because it's like a big, it's going to be used for some other purpose? A lesach amount. If it's less than a lesach, so then we assume it's not muksa because it's not set aside. Shear tfua tzvura bakama. How much, again, ask, how much is the shear of tfua gathered that is muksa? Armalai, hari amru, shear tfua tzvura balesach. As we just mentioned, period. Trumas and Maestros would take it off of this lachora, because then it would be teva. You know, you get right. You get right. It sounds like it's out in the fields, and there's no chiv of Trumas and Maestros yet, as we'll see in the end of today's Amud, Rav Hashem. But because you have to assume it's usable tefuah. Maybe you took it into your silo, and then it's being gathered there. But you're right. Ibailahu asks the Gemara, Hani arba v'chamish kubos deka'amar. That which we read in the Mishnah, that you're allowed to move four or five boxes, ba'arba v'chamish kubos in tfeilo. When it says you're allowed to move four and five boxes in the Mishnah, what does that mean? Does that mean that you were only allowed to be matriach four or five times? Let's say you can take a box each time that you schlep. So you're only allowed to do it four or five times. Alma lemute bihilucha adif. It doesn't matter how large the boxes are, how much you pile into the boxes. You could pile in a lot, as long as you only schlep four or five times. Because the issue on Shabbos that we're worried about is the tircha issue, the schlepping issue. And the less times you go back and forth, that's better. And that's the limit of the Mishnah. Odilmo, or should we understand the Mishnah? Lemute masi adif. Or when the Mishnah says four or five times, that means, no, the regular amount of four or five bundles. You're not allowed to take more than that. But of course, the Mishnah is assuming, it would be better to take smaller bundles and go back 15 times. Because then, you know, it's less of a tircha for you if you carry less. So what's the Mishnah trying to emphasize, asks the Gemara? Is it trying to emphasize less going back and forth, less hiluch, or less masui, have less bundles and just do it more times? How should we interpret the Mishnah? Tashma, the Tani Chad Mefana Nafila Arba V'Chamish Kubos Shebe V'Kadayayin. We have one brisa which says you're allowed to move four or five boxes of jugs of oil and wine. V'tanya idach, meaning the jugs are in the boxes. V'tanya idach be'eser v'chamesh esrei. And the other one says 10 or 15 something. So we assume, what does 10 or 15 something mean? It means 10 or 15 boxes. So one brisa says you're allowed to move 4 or 5 boxes. One brisa says you're allowed to move 15 boxes. So maybe this is the machlokas. My lab hakamifligi. Shouldn't we say that this is the machlokas between the two? One brisa says it's better to have larger piles and less times that you go back and forth. No, the other one that says 10 or 15 times, it must be that that brisa is assuming that they're not arguing on the amount total that you're allowed to take. It just means that you break it up into smaller piles, and therefore you're allowed to do it in that way. Okay, it comes up sometimes. If we have to do something on Shabbos, you know, is it better? We're not supposed to be overexert ourselves on Shabbos. So is it better to go back and forth more times, or is it better to carry more? So the Gemara says, maybe it's a machlokas. The Gemara says, no, to kuli alma miyuta bihilucha adif. Everybody agrees that it's better to do less times, meaning 4 and 5 is the times that you're allowed to have. I omi savers, but there's a price that says you're allowed to take 10 or 15 bundles. So what does that mean? More than 4 or 5 times back and forth? The Gemara says, no, omi savers, be'esur b'chamish asara, b'chamish asre akupos koi. Who says you understood that 10 and 15 was referring to the boxes, which would mean that you have to go back and forth 10 or 15 times? No, akadin koi. It's referring to the jugs which are in the boxes. And therefore, v'lokasha hada mishkali chad chad v'kupa. And therefore, there's no steer between the brises; they're agreeing. But the one that says 4 or 5 times, that's talking about bigger jugs, and you only have one jug in each box. And therefore, you can only take 4 or 5. Then you're already done. V'hada mishkali trei trei. V'hada mishkali tlasa tlasa. And this is talking about where you could fit 2 in or 3 in. In other words, you have smaller jugs. Ubitikure to Harfina, like the jugs of Harfina, name of a place, we had smaller jugs. And therefore, when it says 10 or 15, that's referring to the jugs, but you could do that in 4 or 5 schleps, 4 or 5 going back and forth. And therefore, really, we always hold, though, miuta bihilucha adif. You could have a larger pile, but only have that amount of walking.
Similar to the case of the fire.
Interesting, right? Because the Gemara had a yibaya about that, a discussion by the fire. Very good. That if you allow to take a certain amount from the fire, matzil b'beitz leika, you allow to have. What do you have? This one big sheet, and you put some food in, and you roll it over, and put some food in, and roll it over. You know, that's interesting, right? Similar case, but there it was in terms of what are we not worried about that you might come to be mechabe. But here you're right. What are we? What's more of a design of Shabbos? What's more of a tircha issue? Good. That which the Mishnah has a maximum of 4 or 5 boxes. Is that only? Is that even if you have a lot of more guests where you would need more room? Or do you say that no? If you have a lot of guests, then you go out and move even more boxes. And if you want to say it always goes by the Archim, Chad Gavra Mefani Laku or Dilma Gavra Mefani Lanafshei. Do we say that one person is allowed to do all the schlepping, and even, let's say, he knows all the guests are coming, so he's allowed to do it? That tircha is allowed? Or shall we say that no, one person can't do that, that's a bizayon, but everybody can move their own box? Or at least different people can move boxes for others, at least as long as one person doesn't do it. That's the ibaya. So, is there a maximum, does it always go by the guests? And even if you want to say it goes by the guests, can one person do all the schlepping? So Tashma, the Gemara quotes 2 stories. Amar Abba, Amar Abchiyah, Pamachas, Halach, Rebbe, L'makam Echad, V'ram makam Dachal, L'talmidim. Rebbe came to one place, and he saw that the Talmidim was squished in, he saw there was going to be no room for the shear. V'yotzel asadeh, umatz asadeh, malaya umrim. And he went out to the fields, and he was going to say, he's going to take the shear outside, and he saw there were all these bundles, all these umrim, in the field. V'imir Rebbe kol asadeh kula. So he was gathered up all the bundles, and therefore we see from there, and the Gemara is going to quote another story that another rabbi did the same thing. We see from there, though, that what? That there were a lot of guests, and he did it all himself. And he did it all himself. That's what is allowed. Very interesting Rashi, very important Rashi on this line. What does Rashi say? Look about 8 lines up from the bottom on the first column. V'imir. Oh, even before we do this, what any issues with that you think of? What about Ma'amer? Ma'amer is one of the malachas, right? You don't go so far. Choresh, right? Zareya, Kotzer, Ma'amer, right? You're right there. Right, Dosh, Ma'amer. But Ma'amer's gathering. You're not allowed to gather. So what do you mean? The Gemara uses that lashon. V'imer Rebbe, call us the kula. That's the second half of the Rashi.
Actually, Rashi doesn't explain it. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's the second half of the Rashash that talks about this, Rashi. But I'm sorry.
He wasn't gathering what was there. He was removing what was there.
Well, he was putting it on. It says Ve'imer Rebbe Kalasada Kula. The Gemara uses the lashon of Ma'amer. So what does it mean? So maybe Rashi's saying Kislav Dafka. The Rashash asks this question on Rashi because Rashi says something else, which we'll get to in a minute. But he says the lashon may be Lav Dafka, but it says Ma'amer. So the Rashash says maybe it was Shalom B'Makom Gidulo. Right, there's a Tosfos and Beitza that says gathering ma'amer has a lot of limits. We discussed this in a Tuesday night shiur last year. A lot of limits that's not really found in the Gemara. There's one limit found in the Gemara: ein imer el b'gdula karka, only by things that grow from the ground. But there are four other limits in the Rishonim. One of them is ein imer el b'makom gidula, only where it grows. Right, so that's why if it's not in the place where it grows, so then let's say it's the apples that are in your backyard and you got them from the store, the apple tree. There's no imer there. Because it didn't grow. It didn't grow here. So as long as it didn't grow in this spot, you know, because you would think, Ma'amir, you learned the Malach Ma'amir. Okay, so if I drop Svarim on the floor in my living room, when I gather them, it's Malach Ma'amir. If I drop the spoons when I'm setting the table, it's Malach Ma'amir. So you have to know that there are four limits. If you just know the word Ma'amir, gathering, so you would think that you can't gather up the Siddurim and Shul. But there are limits. Number one, Aimur, only things that grow from the ground. That gets rid of a lot. Number two, in Imur Elba Makum Gidulo. That's what the Rishash says here. I'll suggest another one, but look at the Lashon of the Gemara. I don't think the Rishash says this. Umatzer Sada Malaya Umrim. What does that mean? It sounds like there were already bundles there. Malaya Umrim, and now he's gathering it again. There's another principle that Tosfos Rit says, In Imur Acher Imur. Once it's gathered once, it doesn't say this Tfuah here he's getting rid of. It says Malay Umrim, specifically. So maybe that's another heter. Ein imur achar imur. Even if you take the word imur literally, and you say it's dafka, that could be two answers. But then the other part is in Rashi. Ve'imer panes ha'umrin, ve'karmelis havei, ubepachos pachos midalad amos. Why are you allowed to do this gathering? I knew, was there an Erev there? So Rashi says it was a karmelis, and he gathered it to amos, then he stopped, to amos, and then he stopped. Little by little, he gathered it. So that's what Rashi says. So asks the Rashash that if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says carrying less than Dalad Amos in a Karmelis is still Aser Midrabanan. Right? If you have a Karmelis, which is a it's an Aser Midrabanan to carry into it from Rishus Rabim or Rishus Yachid or vice versa. The Rashash, the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Memtes Hey Aser Lahola Chayves Pachas Pachas VeArba Amos Afilu Benes Shmashes Afilu BeKarmelis. Right? It's Aser. The Rebbe Kiva Eger on that Shulchan Aruch paskins against the Shulchan Aruch based on this Rashi. Rather, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, hard look at Rashi. Rashi says, mutter. It's a double derabanan. So therefore, it's a shvus to shvus. Therefore, you see, this shvus, karmel, svachas ba'ud al-namos, is not a problem. Kiva Eger paskins against. The Rashash says, you don't have to say that. What could you say? B'maka mitzvah. This isn't just stam a shvus to shvus, a double derabanan. This is shvus to shvus, b'makom. There's a shir going on. You have to do it. The Shulchan Aruch is saying shvus to shvus in general, where there's no tzarech mitzvah, where there's no tzarech rabim, etc. But shvus to shvus, Rashi doesn't specify. That's the difficulty. That's where Kiveger's raya. Rashi says it was a karmelis unless it's alamas. Doesn't say endless tzarech mitzvah. Doesn't say that. In Achinami, he wouldn't argue that that's the case here, but Rashi doesn't emphasize that. So Rabbi Kiveger seems to say maker that it's mutter, Kiveger and Shulchan Aruch. But that's the Rashash says maybe it's a tzarech mitzvah, and that's why even the Shulchan Aruch would agree in this case. Is it Xerah Drabanan or Malacha Drabanan? So, good question. Karmelis itself, we had a discussion whether it's Xerah or Malacha. Machlokas Abayin Rav, I think, on Daf, Zayin Ches, one of those over there. But carrying less than Dalan Amos, you know, is that Xerah that you might come to carry Dalan Amos? Probably. But, if it's Xerah, well, Xerah issue. But it's a double, so at least it might be just a parallel, but not one up to the other. Okay, Rav Yosef, the last skinny line. Rav Yosef and Rav Boshi, the Gemara quotes the same story about Rav Yosef, about Rav Chiyah. Rav Chiyah went somewhere, and he saw the place was a little squishy. Again, he did it also. So the Gemara says, you see from here, because there were a lot of guests, you were allowed to gather. You let it gather in and move a lot of the stuff, even more than 4 and 5. What about the second Ibaya? Could one person do it all himself, or you have to have different people do it? So the Gemara says, Tashma, v'imer Rebbe. Well, look at the Lashon of the Brisa that we just quoted. It said, Rebbe gathered it. So therefore, it sounds like that one person. The Gemara says, Ulu Taimech, Rebbe, v'danafshe imer. Rebbe, the Nasi, he did it himself? Can't be. Can't be that he got into the backyard and nobody saw him and helped him out. He did it all himself. That can't be. So Elatziva the emailer ulolam kol chad b'chad b'fanei l'nafshei. So no raya for that story. If one person versus many people, because it could be that Rebbe was just in charge and he told everybody to do it themselves. But lav dafka that Rebbe did it all himself. Period. Mipnei ha'orchin. Now we get into some agarta. So it says the Mishnah that you're allowed to move it not only from the Talmidim, for the Talmidim, but also for some guests that are coming. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gedola hachnasas arachim kashkamat beis hamedrash. Having guests, hachnasas arachim, is just like getting up early and going to shul, hashkamat beis hamedrash, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, which we were all makayim this morning. The Tani b'pnei arachim b'bitl beis hamedrash. Look in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah has two reasons. Because they're next to each other in the Mishnah, we assume there's a connection between them. Arachim and Bitol Beis HaMedrash are compared. For Avdim Ben Ardom are Yosef Mishka Beis HaMedrash. Getting, having guests is even greater than Ashkar Beis HaMedrash, because that's first in the Mishnah. Diktani Bebnei Arachim, Vahadar, Ubebnei Bitol Beis HaMedrash. That's first in the Mishnah. That's the comparison. Next, Amar Yehuda Marav, Gedola Hachnosas Arachim Mehakbalas Panei HaShchina. Famous line, greater is Hachnosas Arachim from greeting the Shechina, Dechsiv, as it says, by Avram Avinu, Vayomer, Hashem, imna matzasi chen beinecha, alnos avar me'alavdecha. The pasuk says by the Hashem, Avram talking to the Malachim. The pasuk, the word in the Torah is alav dalav nun yud. There's a machlokas. Tosas here points out whether this is a shame kodesh or a shame chol. When it says alav dalav nun yud, does it mean Adonai, my master, and therefore he's talking to the big Malach, the gadol shebahem, or is he talking to Hashem and it's really shame Hashem? And it's Shem Kodesh. So the assumption of this Gemara, Tosas points out, is that it's a Shem Kodesh. Avram is talking to Hashem, and Avram sees the Malachim, and all of a sudden he says, Hashem, you know what, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I got to go greet these guests. And that's what you learn, that it's greater to greet guests than Hakbalas Pnei Hashchina. Fine. Wonderful line. The Velt asks, I remember when we learned Shabbos in the Kollel, a bunch of years ago, and remember we discussed this Gemara with Rav Shechler. Rav Shechler says, the Olam asks. What does the Olam ask? Had Avram Avinu know this halacha? We learn it from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu knew he stopped talking to Hashem to go greet the Malachim. But had Avram Avinu know that he was allowed to say, Hashem, hold on a minute, I'm going to go greet the Malachim? That's a kasha. So Sharam Sainim Halacha quotes this question. And he quotes from the Rebbe from Shpitipka. I don't know who that is. That he says that, we know the Gemara, Rashi quotes that it was a tremendously hot day that day. Abnormally hot. According to Hashem, was Hotzi Chama Min Artika. He made it very hot, so there wouldn't be Archim there. So there shouldn't be Archim. Umika Mashma, so it must be that Avram Avinu took that as a raya that Hachnas Archim would be greater. Because why is Hashem making it so hot that there are no guests here? It must be that if there would be guests, that I would have to go greet them. Oh, that's how Avram Avinu learned. That's A. Another one, he quotes from the Parshischa, that maybe every Aver of Avram Avinu was so pure and connected to God that it kind of like moved automatically. Like, and Avram Avinu kind of followed his Avarim. So like when the guest came, it automatically started going to the guest. Avram was like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do this. It's more of a Kabbalistic idea. But Rav Shechler quoted to us from the Olam. The Olam answers. I don't know which sefer this Olam is. But he said the Olam answers that the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu was different than the other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Basbaklaria Hameira. He saw with a clear vision, and the other Nevi'im saw Basbaklaria She'enim Meira, meaning not a clear vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So the Rambam writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was awake. He was the only Navi that was ever awake talking to Hashem. Everybody else was in a trance. They were like unconscious, in a trance talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Avraham Avinu saw the Malachim. So it must be, so the men, slash Malachim. So it must be Avram Avinu, he says to himself, I'm always in a trance. And all of a sudden, I'm out of the trance to be able to see the Malachim. It must be Hashem wants me to see these Malachim and take care of them. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch, that's how Avram Avinu himself knew that Gadol HaKadosh Arachim Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and once he did it, and then we learn Malachim from him. Okay, those are three different approaches of how to answer that kasha. Okay, next. Amar Balazar Bo Re'e Shlok Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. Hashem is different than people. Midas Basav Adam, a person, Ein Kata Yochola Lomar Lagadol Hamtena She'ovav Eslech. Right? A person on the low point of the totem pole doesn't tell his boss, you know what, mister, I'll be back in a couple minutes. I just got to take care of something. A katan doesn't tell the Gadol to wait for him. V'ilu B'Akadosh Baruch Hu, B'Avai Hashem, K'siv Ayomar Hashem, V'na Masasi, V'chulu Hashem, Avram, tell the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not makpid on his covet. There's another answer that I forgot to mention, that is quoted, that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is is kind of a Kabbalah Spanish Shekhinah in a different way, because everybody has a Selam Elokim, and when you're doing Hadassah Archim to them, you're kind of greeting their Selam Elokim, so it's not really a pagam in the Kabbalah Spanish Shekhinah. But Hashem here is not Machmed. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Sheila, Amar Vasi, Amar Yochanan, Shisha Dvarim Adam Ochel Be'er Seim Ba'olam Hazeh, Ve'ken Kemes La'olam Haba. Right, there were six things that the person eats their fruit in Olam Hazeh, and the Karen is Kayam for them in Olam Haba. The Elohein, Hachnas Az Orchim, Ubikir Cholim, the Iyun Tfila. Iyun Tfila, see on the side, Ayin Tosas Kufi Chesam Beis. That's the Tosas that says we had a number of times, two types of Iyun Tfila. The Iyun Tfila of hope, of expecting that you're going to get the answer you want, that's not a good Iyun Tfila. Iyun Tfila of having proper Kavanah and Davening, that's a good Iyun Tfila. Vashkamas Beis HaMedrish, Vamagado Banav L'Talmud Torah. Right, so getting up early to go to shul, and one of the mafreshim in the back, I think Yaakov Emden says, it doesn't say learning in shul, it just says getting to shul early. So if you don't get every word from the shiur, and just getting to shul early, sometimes we fall asleep, whatever, that itself is a milah. The Magada Bada L'Talmud Torah, sending your children to yeshiva, right, paying tuition, that's one of the Ocha Perseim Al-Mazeva, Ken Gemin Al-Abam, V'Hadon Es Chaveir L'Kapschus, and somebody who gives his friend the benefit of the doubt. Eini, is this really true that is these six? We have another, we have a Mishnah, V'ha'anantanan, the Mishnah that we say every morning, first Mishnah in Peah, V'ha'anantanan, Elu Dvarim, right, we might, right, somebody asks you, tell me a Mishnah in Peah, we might say, I don't know any Mishnahs in Peah, we all know a Mishnah in Peah. First Mishnah in Peah, Elu Dvarim, Shalom Ochaber, Osam, V'ochaber, Sein Balam Hazeh, V'ha'ken Gavim, Salam Abba. A little different, girsa than we have in the morning. V'eluhen, Kibarava E, Mugumilas Chasadim, V'aval Shalom, Bidanam Chaveir, bring Shalom to each other, V'tamatar Gadagad Kulam, Hadi in Midiach Yilo. So it sounds like there are different lists. So says the Gemara, no, really it's the same list. Hani nami bahani shaychi. Really, even though it looks like different lists, they're all equal out. Because one list says gemilas chasadim, and that's parallel to the other brisa that says hachnasas arachim and biker cholim. Because that's gemilas chasadim. Rashi explains. Alright, what about iyun tfila? Where's that in the other list? Iyun tfila, Rashi also says gemilas chasadim, because you're doing chesed to yourself, because you're davening for yourself. So that's also included. What about getting up early to the Beis Medrash and sending your children to Talmud Torah? That also is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah isn't only learning yourself, but it's sending your kids to Talmud Torah and getting up early to learn. And Donis Chaveiro L'Kav Schus, that's included in Havoah Shalom Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Because, obviously, if you're down L'Kav Schus, then you think better of other people, and it causes less strife. Okay, that's how Rashi explains everything on top, how they fit into each other. So now the Gemara talks about, has an Amud of Dan L'Kav Schus stories, because it was mentioned here. Tanur Rabbanan. Hadanya. Is that if somebody says his kids to yeshiva, is that connected kulam? It's included in Talmud Torah. I don't know if it's right. If you cause somebody else to learn, so maybe on a certain level, it is connected kulam. Tana Rabbanan. The Rav Chanan, we don't have time to discuss. Rav Chanan talks about how most of these. Usually, Karen, something that works for you in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba, most of them should be Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, right? Because what else would be, is Karen Kemes, right? Ochaber Sein Olam Hazeh, that's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So most of the Hachnas is Orachim, Biker Cholim, even Iyun Tfilo, davening for somebody else. But then you have some that are related, Dan L'Kav Schus, then you have some that are related to Talmud Torah. How is Talmud Torah Ochaber Sein Olam Hazeh? Right? The Ben Adam L'Chaveiro ones, you're helping out your friends, but what about. Why is all the Talmud Torah ones that are connected? So Rav Chanan writes in one of his Ksavim that he quotes an idea from Rav Chaim Balajan. Rav Chaim Balajan writes that the Asos Dvarim HaOlam Omeid, actually we're going to discuss this better next Shabbos in Pirkei Avashir, but I'm allowed to repeat on Shabbos, I've already said that. But the Rav Chaim Balajan writes that why there are time zones created in the world. Right? Why can Hashem could have created an earth with all the same time zone? Right? Much easier to call Israel. Right? Why? Because Chaim Balajan writes that every second of the world, somebody has to be learning. Somebody's not learning, the whole world would cease to exist. That's Omeid. Omeid is existing. So that's why with time zones, there's never nighttime. So therefore, in Balajan, they took this seriously and they had a cycle. And in Balajan, everybody signed up for a certain amount of time because they had somebody learning the Beis Medrash every second. Rav Kook said that he always took the hour after Yom Kippur. It's a herb shame of Kook and also from Chaim Balajan. So maybe it was both of them. But he always took the hour. He knew nobody else would want that hour. So he learned for the hour after Yom Kippur. But based on that, says Rav Chanan, so maybe that's the point, because when somebody learns and keeps the Olam alive and functioning, that's the greatest Ben Adam HaChaveiro there is. So even though it seems like Ben Adam HaMakom, but maybe in a sense, Ben Adam learning is also Ben Adam HaChaveiro, because it's keeping the world going. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, second line. Hadon Chaveiro L'Kav Schus, Tana Nosa L'Schus. Anybody who judges his friend L'Kav Schus, Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the benefit of the doubt. So it's always a good idea to give other people the benefit of the doubt, because we're going to be up there, we're going to have all our excuses in the book. Hashem's going to say, hey, but you didn't judge, give him the benefit of the doubt, so why should I give you the benefit of the doubt? So, Mita Keneged Mita. There was a man who worked for another man for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippurim, Amar Lo Tein Li Scharis, he says to the man, after 3 years in Erev Yom Kippur, can I have my wages, please? Ve'ilch Vazon Esbeisi Yubana, and I'll go support my family. Amar Lo Ein Li Mos, sorry, I don't have any money. Amar Lo Tein Li Peiris, give me some fruits. Give me Shava Kesef. Amar Lo Ein Li, sorry. Tein Li Karka, I have some karka, land. Ein Li, I don't have any either. Tein Li Behema, can I have an animal? Ein Li. Tein Li Karmak Sasa, can I have a pillow and a blanket? Ein Li, I have nothing. The guy sees there's a big house behind him. Hivshul Kelev Lachor, Balach Lebeisav, Fakin Nefesh. He's sad, he's upset. What can I do? He says he doesn't have anything, he leaves. Lachmar Regal, after Yantif. Right, this was Arabian Kippur. So after Yantif, Nato Balabai Schar Biyado, after Yantif, the owner, employer, goes and takes the money in his hand. V'imo Masugim Chamorim, and he has three bundles piled on donkeys. Echa Shemacha, one of food, Echa Shemishav, Echa Sheminim Megadim, one of food and drink and treats, V'alach Lo'beis, and he goes, finds his worker. He goes and they have a big feast and they eat and they drink. And he pays him his wages. Amar Lo, he says to him, when you asked me for your wages, and I said I don't have anything, what were you thinking in your mind? Come on. God said, what were you thinking in your mind? I thought that you didn't have any liquid assets. I thought like you had, there was a great deal. Somebody just passed by and you gave all your money to that ends. What about when I said I didn't have any animals? What were you thinking? I said, I thought maybe you rented them all out already and you hired them all out and you don't have any for you. When I said I don't have any karka, what were you thinking? I thought that again, you rented it, you gave it out as a choker, or as a choker, you gave it out to a sharecropper. What about when I said, well, I had no fruit, and you saw some apples hanging on my tree? I thought maybe you didn't take off chumas and maestros yet, and that's why you didn't give it to me. What about when I said, I don't have any pillows? I said, maybe he gave all his chasim to Hektish. Maybe all of a sudden he gave everything to the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Lei, so the employer answers, Havuda Kachaya. You're exactly right about everything. My son was going off the derech, and therefore I gave all my nechasim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Beis HaMikdash, hoping that if it's chuz that, my son will get back on the derech and start learning. And when I came to my friends in the south, they were matching my neder, because they, whatever reason, viata, and therefore now, I give you a bracha, kishem shedantani l'schus, amachim yadon l'schal l'schus. You judge me l'chav schus so well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you l'schus. So you got a bracha, right? There are other sources that say, if you're not down with somebody l'chav schus, then you owe them a bracha. From this gemara, because here it says, you were down with l'chav schus, they give you a bracha, so if you're not somebody l'chav schus, that's why if you judge somebody not l'chav schus, then the other person could say, come on, give me a bracha, you're owed a bracha. Tanur Rabbanan, similar story. All these stories are quoted in the She'iltos on Parsha Shmos. The She'iltos is one of the Gaonim, Rav Achai Gaon, and he has three or four discussions of a mitzvah on every Parsha. It's not a sefer mitzvahs, but he has a different discussion on every Parsha. So on Parsha Shmos, he discusses this. Why did he talk about Donald Hapskos on Parsha Shmos? Not you, I told you yet. Why did he discuss this on Parsha Shmos? Anybody? What does Parsha Shmos have to do with Donald Hapskos? Moshe Rabbeinu was not Dan L'chav Schus. Right? He wasn't Dan L'chav Schus B'nei Yisrael. So that's why we had a couple of dafim ago. We had Hashem says, my children are Maminim B'nei Maminim. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, not so. So we had that a couple of daf ago. So Tanur Rabbanan, second wide line. Ma'aseh b'chassid echad shepadav riba achaz b'as Yisrael. There was a Rav, a chassid echad, that redeemed a young girl. And he was going back with his Talmidim. They stopped at a hotel, and she slept in the same room as him next to his feet. After the morning, he got up, he went to the mikvah, and then he gave shir. So he says, Talmidim, guys, what were you thinking when I went to the mikvah this morning? What were you thinking last night? Well, we thought, Rebbe, probably you didn't trust any of us, so you took her into your room. What about when I went to the mikvah this morning? What were you thinking? Maybe the traveling affected Rebbe to see Keri. But chas v'shalom, nothing more. Amar leb ha'avodah, kachaya, you're right. V'atem k'shem sh'adantunu l'kav z'chus, ha'machim yadon eschem l'kav z'chus. Just like you gave me the benefit of the doubt, Hashem should give you the benefit of the doubt. Tanu rabbanon, pamachas uzo davarech l'tamidei chachamim, eitzel mashu nisa achas. One time, there was a rav that had to go speak to a certain matron, a certain woman, who was big in the government. Shekal gadoli romi mitzuli nesla, that all the great Roman officers always went by her. In other words, she wasn't the most clean woman. Amru miyelech. So they said, who should go? Amru Rabbi Yeshua, ani elech. Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll go. Halach Rabbi Yeshua v'tamidah. Rabbi Yeshua went with these talmidim. Kimin shegeil pesach beisach, chol asfilah baruch hatal anamos. Once he got to the door where he was going to go in, he took off his tefillin. Right, the Mefarshim say because it was a makom tumah, and therefore he didn't want to wear his tefillin, as we had in Maseches Brachos. V'nichnas v'nala delos b'fneihen. He went in and he locked the door behind them. Achar sheyatza. After he went out, Yard Vitava Alvashan Al Famidav. Again, he went to the mikveh and he gave shir. When I went, took off my tefillin, what were you thinking? As I just mentioned, right, that we said, you don't want to wear your tefillin in a makam tumah. Bishashan Alasi, no Alti, Bimachashatuni. When I locked the door, what were you thinking? Maybe there's something private you have to talk about regarding the government. When I went to the mikvah, what were you thinking? Maybe when she was talking, sometimes when somebody talks, some of the saliva goes out of their mouth. So maybe some of the her saliva went on you. And we know Rashi here quotes the concept from Maseches Nida that Chazawar goes there on non-Jews that they should have the status of zavim l'chol devrayim midrabanan. So therefore, if she spits on you, then you have to go to the mikvah. Amalahem avodah kachaya. Correct. You judge me l'kav z'chus, so too Hashem should judge you l'kav z'chus. Okay, so that's Dan l'kav z'chus. It's in Pirkei Avos. It's one of the most important principles, one of the hardest principles, but it's something we got to work on, especially as we stand here on the second day of Elul. It's a major item, as I mentioned that in the past, that we could work on. And it's not only our friends, it's our wives, it's our family, it's people that are closest with. Usually it's the hardest to be Dan l'kav z'chus, because we usually figure out every excuse in the book for them while they didn't do something that they should have, but we should try to be Dan l'kav z'chus. Okay, let's just try to do one more line. Mefan and Shuma Tahora, Vechulu. You're allowed to move Shuma Tahora. Pshita. Well, Tzricha Demancha B'Yad Yisrael. What do you mean? Of course you're allowed to move Truma Tahora. Right? As Rashi said, it's you're allowed to give it to the Kohen's animal, but what's the Chiddush? It's Rawi. No, the Chiddush is that it's the Yisrael that has the Truma, not the Kohen. So you might say, because the Yisrael himself can't eat it, it's Aser. No, but still, because it's Roy for a Kohen, it's Mutter. In other words, as long as it's fit for another Jew, it's good, it's not muksa for this Jew. Tosfos points out, even though, top Tosfos, we said earlier in the Masechta that we had a concept of big day aniyim la'ashirim. Let's say you have a tiny little garment that only a poor person would use. That's muksa for a rich person. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? Here it says, Truma is not muksa for Yisrael, so why should a tiny little garment be muksa for a rich person? So Tosfos says there's a difference between the two. A tiny little beged is b'mitzius, in reality, unusable for a rich person. Truma, it's usable, there's just an isser to use it. It's not that in reality it can't be used. Truma inherently can be used, there's just an isser to Rav Yaleh. So that's why, if it's just an isser to Rav Yaleh, but it inherently can be used, that's why it's not moksa. Masha'enkein bigdei aniyim la'ashirim. Again, there are various discussions that the poskim have about something that you're not allowed to eat. What about if you made a neder not to eat something? Is that moksa? What about this past year, Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos? The Prima Gadim discusses, is matzah moksa on Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos? So he says, maybe not, because you can still give it to your kids, because they can eat something, but you're not allowed to eat it. There's different discussions about items that are awesome. What about food on Yom Kippur? What about food on Yom Kippur? Is that muksa or not? Reb Kiv Eger thinks it's muksa. Seems like we pass it, it's not muksa, because you have to give your kids, food. Either way, that is an issue, and we'll stop here. Just, I didn't mention, Dan l'kav z'chus is part of a mitzvah saseh. The Rambam puts it, based on the Gemara in Shavuos, b'tzedek tishpot amisecha. That pasuk, it's part of a mitzvah saseh daraisa to be Dan l'kav z'chus. So it's something that we should try to work on. Okay, we'll stop here. We're up to the discussion of Demai.
Zero. In each of those cases...